Welcome to the Minister Marks Podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors. Thomas, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, David. How are you?
Buddy, it is good to see you, and you're not the only person I'm looking at. We have a special guest.
We do have a special guest. It's Marty Hurt.
Oh, we love Marty!
Marty is Associate Pastor of Worship at Gaston Baptist Church. Marty, I've got something for you.
What you got?
I've got a gift for you, and yeah. I want you to open it. On air, okay?
Yeah. Okay. We treat all of our guests well, Marty, and this is your first time being in the Ministry Mark studio.
This is a real, okay.
So it's very special. So just take your time.
We're not making this up. It is a real gift. Yeah.
Something going to jump out of it?
It is Marty. He is so nervous about it.
I'm just not used to getting a gift, you know?
Man, that is
nice. You
got to
read the card, too.
Oh, read the card first?
Well, I don't know.
What do you want him to do first, Tom?
Go ahead. You can read the card first.
Open it on air so you can hear the paper tearing it in the microphone. Oh, there you go.
I knew he was a professional.
He is.
Okay.
Marty Hurt is not afraid of a microphone.
All right. So read it.
Sure, okay. Go ahead.
Marty, I received this precious gift from Shirley at Gaston. It's helped me so much. I've often fell asleep with this book in my hands. But most importantly, I wish I'd have brought my glasses. But most importantly, I've cherished it in my heart. I immediately thought of you and thought you would like this and cherish this as much as me. Maybe when you're finished with it, you can pass it on to Judy.
Jody.
Okay, sorry. Oh, it looked like a U. You got it from Shirley.
I got it from Shirley.
Well, this must be a significant gift.
I'm thinking, who is Shirley at Gaston? All right. Here's the paper tearing on the gift. Power of I Am by best-selling author Joel Osteen. 365 life-changing devotions.
Okay, let me see this. Now look at this. This is what I received. It says, "Brother Thomas, I was reading through this devotional and it made me think so much of your teaching. I hope you enjoy this as much as I have. Blessings. Shirley."
I had forgotten about that. So you're
admitting to it.
Are you Shirley, Marty?
I go by many names.
You don't know how long I've held on to this to give this back to you at the opportune moment. And that is I'm guessing that's Jody's handwriting.
I had her write it, so it would look like. I mean, whoever did this had her write it, so it would look like a thing. I forgot all about that.
As far as I know, I never said a word about it. If I remember correctly, I received it. I told Amanda, I'm like, Marty did this. This is Jody's handwriting.
And it was so.
I never asked who Shirley was or nothing.
It was so unfulfilling because I'm like, well, did he even get it? You know, like, I put a lot of work into that prank. And got no reward from it.
Oh,
but
Marty,
here you go.
Full circle.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, that's so funny. Well, you know, really, we have a history with Marty. I'll start. And so Marty and I, first, Marty married a Kossuth High School girl.
I did.
So.
Best decision I ever made.
Yes,
for sure. Yeah.
That's right. So I remember Christy.
Well, second best.
Yeah. First best was to be saved,
that's
I
right.
assume.
That's
so,
right.
yeah. And so, yeah, so. So Marty's wife and I went to high school together. I remember her and she and her brother, Chris Weaver. I remember Chris very well. And so Marty married a Kossuth girl. But then we have some ministry similarities. I pastored Trinity Baptist Church for 8.5 years. And you served Trinity Baptist Church as worship
leader. Four great years. Such a great church.
With Don Baggett, who was my predecessor. Yes. What years were you at Trinity?
Oh, it would have been 2009, I think. Through 2014, somewhere around in there.
Something like that. Okay, gotcha. And so you and I never served together at Trinity, but I remember we had you led worship whenever I was at Trinity, like for our 75th anniversary,
something like that.
We had you back, had your family back. And then at First Synotopia, you led worship during our revival. We had a revival. Thomas preached the last night of that revival.
Yes.
And so Marty led worship for us. So the people of First Synotopia also remember you from leading worship. And then you guys have a very detailed history. So tell us a little bit about that.
We went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary together. And when Marty's three kids were small and my kids were small. We actually went to red carpet week and stayed in like some horrible dorms.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad. And so we went to classes together and then we served together at Gaston. I was associate pastor of media.
Right. And you were our interim for almost a year before that.
Yep, that's right. Interim. Well, I think it was exactly 1 year.
I think it was, yeah.
That I was interim. And so we got to serve a few years together there.
Some good years. Yeah,
that's right. And then for our listeners, y'all, you may not know this, but Marty is, man, he's sort of kind of famous.
Oh.
You know, Thomas, this needs to be around famous people.
Famous or infamous. So, yeah.
tell us about the quartet days.
Hey, I tell you, yeah. Titus, my youngest, Titus, I'll hear him every once in a while go through the house and you'll hear him say, oh my, I'm going to find.
What song is he singing, Marty?
He came up to me when we were at Passion rehearsal at Gaston here a few weeks ago, and he came up and he looked at me, sang that song, and he just kind of grinned. And so I finished the line he was on and he's grinned and walked off. Yeah, I got to travel for about 8 years with a group called Crossway that we started with myself, Paul Smith from Walnut, my brother-in-law now, Chris Weaver, and Casey Kappelman from Ripley. We started the group, and God allowed us to do so many things, to go so many places, and to experience life in a different way. We were 18, 19 years old and traveling across the country by ourselves, and really, it's amazing that we ever made it to where we were going and made it back home, because, you know, we were just dumb kids, to be honest, at the time. But we loved God and loved getting to do what we were doing, going into different churches and singing and sharing the gospel. So we had a great time.
So y'all were like on tour.
We were. Yeah, we were.
So did y'all have a bus?
We did. We didn't start out with a bus, started out with just like a church van, like that we took the seats out of, put a mattress in the back. And I mean, no lie. But we started out in a van, a church van that we converted into a luxury, road van. We had a wreck in it once and totaled it, but I was asleep in the back. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
So who was driving? Was it one
Chris
of the...
Chris was driving.
Chris was driving. So didn't you guys sing at the Grendel Opry?
We did, yes.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes,
like maybe you were there like the night that Carrie Underwood debuted at the Grendel
that's
Opry.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, man, that is really neat. And Thomas asked a question earlier about if you guys really made it big time singers, big time preachers get to do the cruise tours. Did y'all get to go on like a cruise ship?
We did several cruises. That was kind of the highlight of the year. When we would get to go, and it was always in February, so it was cold here, but we'd get to go on the cruise and sing, and so we'd travel down to Mexico or the Bahamas and get to spend a week on a cruise ship it was nice. And
yeah. So was the whole cruise ship kind of booked for that purpose?
They would close down the casinos, close down the bars.
Oh, and man.
So it was, I know, it took the fun out of it. So we would do that, and
So were y'all the only band, or multiple bands?
Different cruise ships would do different things. One was called like Jubilee at Sea. And so we would go and it would be us, and there might be 15 or 20 other groups there. And so we would sing, and they'd have three or four different shows going on at once. You know, I say shows, different stages going. So there would be multiple options, and it was really, really fun, because at night, all the groups, we'd usually get together and hang out and play games and get to know each other. Even some of the just people on the cruise ship would come. You'd really get to know people on that, because it was just a week of, you're there, you're accessible, and you get to share the gospel with folks that you never thought you would. And there was a lot of gray hairs there, obviously, a lot of older folks, but it was fun. It was a great time.
All right, one question I know our listeners will have. Do you receive royalty?
I'm not even thought about that. Really?
I do. Yeah.
Does that mean, Thomas, he's buying lunch today?
It's not that royal. He is the prince of Gaston.
Royalty.
That's not what I mean, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you still get royalties off the songs y'all recorded years ago.
He was on Sirius XM not long ago, because we were listening to the Christian Christian station and on Sirius XM satellite radio, yeah. And Crossway popped up and it was a picture of Marty and the others that were there.
Really? Yeah. Now that's pretty cool.
I sent it to him. Yeah. I was like, I hope you get royalty for this.
I do. I receive a check. And so with the check I get this week and the one I get next week, we could probably go out to lunch with it, you know. So. No, it's not much, obviously, because we're 20. My kids are 20 now. I left the road when they were born. And so it's been 20 years since we've put any music out. But surprisingly, you know, it's still on Spotify. It's on Apple Music, you know, it's on all over YouTube. So it's pretty cool,
man,
to go back
neat.
And see that.
That's neat. All right. So you just mentioned your children. Mm-hmm. How many kids do you have?
Got three.
Oh, wow. What are their ages?
They're 20. Uh-huh. 20 and 20.
So what's it like to be the father, man, of triplets?
It's fun. I wouldn't have it any other way. And mainly because I don't know any other way. People are like, what's it like to have triplets? And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't know the difference. You know, these are the only kids we've got. So I don't know what it's like to have only one baby, one child at a time. Yeah. I know when they were born, they were born very prematurely. They were born at 27 weeks. Mm. And so Hayden, my son, was the biggest, and he weighed 1 pound and 7 ounces.
Wow.
No, 2 pounds. He weighed 2 pounds. My smallest one weighed Hadley, she weighed 1 pound and 7 ounces.
Yeah, wow.
So 2 pounds to 1 pound and 7 ounces. And you could fit them in the palm of your hand. Wow. Yeah. You know, and
but they're 20 now.
And you can never tell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right.
Lord's been good through that.
He has. And I remember I was traveling and we had just signed with a record company, Spring Hill Records, which was the elite gospel music record company at the time. And it was owned by Bill Gaither. We had just started doing the Bill Gaither at the time. Those were big, the Bill Gaither tours, you know, and all that. And so we had a song that was going, we had just released and it was all over the radio. It was called It Looks Like Love to Me. And it was really the song we had been waiting for, you know. And, I mean, things were just booming. It was incredible. And so then all of a sudden, Christy and I were the only ones married. Paul, Chris, and Matt McFarlane was the other member of the group at that time. Anyway, well, Christy and I find out we're going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And so I go to the guys and I tell them, look, Christy and I are pregnant. They're excited. And I said, look, when the baby's born, I'm probably going to take about a month off. Stay home with her until she gets adjusted, but then I'm coming back. So they prepared to find somebody to fill in for me for about a month. Well, then 10 weeks into the pregnancy, Christy's really sick and just having some complications. So we go to the doctor and find out we're having triplets. And I'm like, are you sure? So I get the guys back together and I'm like, look, we're having triplets. Well, it took them about 3 hours to believe me because, you know, I'm a little bit of a practical jokester and I will pull your leg at times, but I finally convinced them we really are having triplets. Uh-huh. I showed them the sonogram. You know, I'm like, look here, baby A, baby B, baby C, right here. And I'm like, so I'll probably take about 3 months off, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Well, the babies were born. And I remember just that night, it was such a whirlwind when they, because we weren't expecting to deliver that day. Christy, her blood pressure shot really high and she was having some complications. And we had already been in the hospital for 3 weeks on bed rest in Memphis. And so the doctor came in and he's like, so how does August 20th sound for a birth date? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. And he looks at me, he says, that's today. And I'm like, you know, I'm oblivious. And he said, that's today. And so I'm like, okay, so let's do it. So they were born. And I remember seeing them as the doctor took them one by one and wrapped them up and the nurse ran out of the room with them. And I remember just thinking, what a miracle this is that they're even alive, something that small could be alive. And so I remember going back to see them for the first time. And I went back and I called the guys and I'm like, you know, I won't be back. Mm-hmm. And so I left the road. Sorry.
Hey, man, it's tough. Life-changing decisions are tough.
It is.
Yeah.
And that was the only life I knew at the time, you know, and so I saw the babies. And so I left the road. I never went back, never did another concert. And so I'm at home the babies are in the hospital for about 3 months because of their birth weight. And they had to be 4 pounds to leave the hospital. And so they came home at different times. Hayden came home. And then Hannah came home. And 83 days after being in the hospital, Hadley finally got to come home.
Man.
And so in the meantime, I'm unemployed.
Hey, right.
I have no job.
But you want a roof over your head and you want food on the table. So yeah.
And so I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And so Pastor in Ripley, Randy Hamilton, calls and he says, he says, I don't know if you're interested, he said, but we're looking for a worship leader.
Springdale Baptist Church.
And I said, okay. I said, you know what? I've never really thought about doing that. I said, let me pray about it and see. So prayed about it. Really didn't even know what I was getting into because never thought about it before, to be honest. And that's honest. I never thought about that. Prayed about it and God gave me the freedom. So I agreed to do that and did it. I was there for a couple of years. Then I went to Trinity in Fulton, and I stayed there about four to five years.
Yeah.
And God began to move in my life and to show me some things and grow me. Went through some times, difficult experiences, some good times, some bad times, and you learn through different situations, and you learn who you are. You learn who God is. I realized that there was a difference between what I was doing, going out and singing to different people every night, mm-hmm. and then to singing to the same people every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. You know, it's a different life. You can't go in and share the same story every kind of, you know, because they heard it last week. So you can't sing the same songs that you do. So it was a different life, but I was shown that God uses that in such a powerful way, in such a different way. And it's such a compliment to the Word of God, using worship through the Word.
Yeah.
Have you ever regretted coming off the road?
Not for a minute.
Hayden's in nursing school.
He is at Blue Mountain, right?
Hannah has been at Ole Miss, but she's going to
going to Blue Mountain, right?
As far as I know, Hadley's got a baking company,
right? But she's also going to Blue Mountain this fall.
Oh, she is. Okay, I didn't know that.
They'll all three be at Blue Mountain College or Blue Mountain Christian University.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yeah. Now, another interesting thing too. You said earlier that the doctor said, "How does August 20th sound for a birthday? What are their complications?" And
I'm sorry, August 21st. August 21st. Yep. My mind went blank for a second. Sometimes I can barely remember my own birthday. Yeah. Because I remember now, they were born the same day. Not the same day, but they have the same birthday as
Tom
and Titus.
And Titus. Right. And the same birthday as Ashton.
Ashton Nichols.
Yeah. So at one point, Gaston Baptist Church, their ministerial staff, there were 6 children with August 21st birthdays.
How strange is that?
Yeah.
That is so weird. Man, that's so weird. So, you know, leaving the road, whenever we as commoners think about people on the road or even preachers on the road, almost think they're famous. Was there a level of adjustment to leaving that aspect?
A little bit, yeah. It was. The guys that I traveled with, we were not just in the group together and seeing together, but we were best friends, you know? And so I missed the camaraderie that we had, but then I found that with staff that I was able to serve with as well, you know, and just a different life. But I don't miss it all, because I would come home and maybe get home on a Tuesday morning, throw my clothes out of the suitcase into the washing machine or the dryer, put them right back in the suitcase, leave again on Thursday, I don't miss that at all.
Yeah. You know, Marty, you mentioned something that basically there's a difference in leading worship or the entertainment, Christian entertainment, where you're singing to different people every night or, you know, every week, and then leading worship in a church setting where it's similar people. Thomas, you know what we ought to do? We ought to record a podcast that will air soon about the differences between a preacher and a pastor. I think Marty has just given us a great idea.
I think that's a wonderful idea, David. We should do that.
I'm glad I could inspire you, you know.
He did say something a moment ago that was very important. He said that the music connects to the the ministry of the word.
Yes,
he did.
That was significant.
And Marty's one of the best. Marty is one of the best at that, because I had the opportunity to preach every Sunday, mm-hmm. every Sunday at Gaston for a whole year. And I was preaching through Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they wanted me to, I kind of started preaching on Revelation. They were like, all right, you're going to finish this out.
You covered the seven churches, and, yes. and you're like, where does Gaston fall? And that was your, you know, your
own intention.
Right. And then everyone was just so loving the study of Revelation that they just asked you, including us as the staff, keep going, you know.
Yeah.
So finally, I was peer pressured into it.
But then you had to find songs that would kind of connect with that and spiritual
moment. Some of those are easy, like Revelation chapter 4 into chapter 5. And that's easy, you know, the worship of around the throne, you know, no problem. But then you get to some of them, you know.
What did you do with the scarlet whore on the beast?
Man, we're going to sing about Jesus today, you know.
But one of the things that I always noticed, like whatever I was going to be preaching, there was a theme to the songs that we sang. And then I quickly realized Marty's reading the passage. Sure. Marty has asked me at some point in the week in a conversation, maybe it's a conversation over coffee, maybe it's a conversation walking down in an aisle, that he says, hey, what's next week? Mm-hmm. And then I tell him the passage. He's read the passage. He's looked at the themes, and he's connected those themes to songs already.
Yeah.
And so he's singing themes of hope, or themes of love, themes of grace, themes of worship that is going to be connected to that passage later on when I get up there. And so it becomes one sermon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The
gotcha.
Music and the preaching becomes one worship service, a cohesive thing. And he's the best at it.
It's the worship service. It's not the music service and the preaching. You know, you want it to be the worship service.
Yeah.
Right.
With your music, we're worshiping around the word. We're worshiping at the table if it's the Lord's Supper, whatever it may be, worshiping through fellowship time, you know. But it's all the worship service, you know, and it's all got to connect.
I heard a guest preacher say one time, or a person say one day, they came to Gaston and they preached. And the themes of the songs connected to the theme of the sermon. And they said something like, wow, isn't it just so lucky how that worked together?
Yeah.
And I think I came to Marty afterwards and said, I know that's not luck.
I know you knew
yep. and you worked on that. And I think I said, I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
He didn't notice, but I noticed.
Yeah.
That's Marty.
So you know, Marty, Thomas and I both agree, and all three of us here today agree that there is a ministry to the music and the ministry of worship. So if you could explain to our listeners, how did you feel called to that ministry?
I've always loved music, obviously, and drawn to music. And music is one of those things that music is powerful, and mm-hmm. it can be used for some of the greatest outcomes that we could imagine, or it can produce some terrible outcomes. You know, music is used in worship, but it's also used by Satan himself to influence us. We can listen on the radio and you hear lyrics and things that suggest, you know, immorality, just drug use, sexual immorality. That's put to music. But at the same time, God gives us music, and it goes all the way back to the Psalms, to where David used to glorify God. And I think that's the purpose of music. And Satan has tried to hijack what God's given us for worship. And the amazing thing about music is there's only 12 notes. 12 notes is all there is. It's the 12-tone system is what we as Western music. But yet, there's hundreds of years worth of different music that sounds completely different from those 12 notes. You know, and it's amazing that God can give us something that is as powerful as music. You know, you think about watching a movie. Say, watch Star Wars and take John Williams out of it. Take the music score out of Star Wars.
Oh.
It's not the same.
Jaws. Take John Williams out of Jaws.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Music moves us. I'm thankful that God allows me to be a part of something like that. But at the same time, if it's just the music, you know, I can be moved, like we just talked about, by watching Star Wars and hearing that dun 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 dun, dun, dun. Yeah. That moves you, but it's just emotions. It's got to be more than just emotions.
Hey guys, we have been able to discuss a lot of things with Marty, and there's so much more that we want to discuss. We're going to have him back next week also, so we want you to listen in next week as we continue our conversation with Marty Hurt. So thank you so much for joining us this week on the Ministry Marks podcast.